Welcome to Geeks of the North, a hobby and gaming podcast in the Dolph of Angus. We're here to paint some miniatures and talk about the hobby, so why don't you sit back, relax, grab a paintbrush, and enjoy the show. Welcome to Geeks of the North. As always, I'm your host, Paul Filio, here once again with the beloved Antoine Bergeron. How's it going, Antoine?
Going well, do you?
It's going okay. I can't complain. Well, I could complain, but no one would care.
Yep.
So, the second week in a row we're recording, man. This is like some sort of legendary crap going on here.
Yep, never happened.
Nope, not in years. Not since like episode 2, probably. Yeah. So, did we get any feedback on the last episode?
Not really.
Excellent. Status quo.
One person mentioned that they would not check out the video because they are listening to the show while doing stuff. So streaming wouldn't be a plus. But that's it. That's the only comment we had.
That's better than no comments, I suppose.
Yes, for sure.
I'll take what I can get.
Yep. So you may still look into it, but if we base it on listener feedback, maybe not.
This confirms we have no listeners. Excellent.
We already knew that.
Oh, well, Steve listens. And maybe Yom occasionally.
Yeah. Maybe.
Maybe. That's okay. Maybe he's finally gotten the hint. I'm just kidding. Obviously. Love you, Yom. You're super. So what are you working on tonight?
I'm working on Skitteres.
Ooh.
Yeah, random Rangers, Vanguards, and the two Sicarin, the Rustalkers and the Infiltrators. I'm painting a two of each to play kill team.
Awesome. Yeah, I keep looking at that, and I haven't drummed up enough motivation. I'd probably do I've got so much stuff painted already for 40K that I haven't touched in years. I could just pull out Sisters of Battle or something, but I was thinking maybe I would do Primaris Marines, because I have a bunch of those I bought to try to do a nice-looking Marine army that wasn't the first thing I ever painted.
Yeah, I was thinking something else, but I already have a squad of Rangers painted, so I'm only building additional weapons and stuff like that or alternate models to try it out. But if the game is fun, it will be a good time to paint my Gretchens and get the revolution started.
Oh, nice. Do you know, can you use multiple different factions? Or is it like your kill team has to be part of the same
list, same book.
Okay. So you can't use like a Sister Superior with a Grey Knight, something or other, with a Space Marine. So, like, you can't make a mixed team.
You could do that in open play. So if we don't mind, we say we do something and it's narrative for fun, no problem. But in the match play rules, it's a single source.
There's matched play rules for kill team.
Open, match, and narrative. Same format as the others. And overall, it's match play is you build a squad for 100 points and you play a game using a single list. That's about it.
Okay. Well, that's interesting, because 40K, I thought everyone did the mixed list thing. I didn't think there was any other option.
Yeah, in 40K there is, but not in the... Like, match play in kill team is not multi-list. But match play in 40K is.
40K is, right? Yeah, okay. I couldn't remember. I haven't read that 8th edition book since the week it came out.
When we played our first playtest, and that's about it.
Yeah, for like 2 weeks we played a lot of 40K. And then we went back to not playing 40K.
But yeah.
And through no fault of 40K, as I would say. Like, we played it, we had fun, we moved on.
Yeah, it's too many games. That one didn't get to the top.
Well, I think it's also, like, we quickly found there was... It was fun, right? It's a fun... the basic book as it was at launch. Basic, very fun beer and pretzels game. But you hit really, like, obvious problems with the game pretty quickly. If you started spamming units or...
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Or being less creative. I mean, we play with Steve, right? So, Mr. I'm going to take tanks to block line of sight to other tanks. And I think his association with Chris Haynes was was showing there.
Yeah, but Stevie's also a tournament player first.
Yeah, I know.
So we were talking about the same thing before recording for another game, and that's about the same thing here.
Yeah. Yeah. Steve...
it's open Steve to abuse, and...
Yep, no, for sure. For sure. Yeah.
So that's what I'm working on right now. And you?
I'm not doing much right now. I painted like a demon the last few weeks, and so now I've lost my mojo. But it'll come back. Right now I'm gluing a sword on Veteran Cinder, who is a blacksmith player.
Mm-hmm.
She's the only player I currently own from the team. I ordered... well, actually, I could talk about this since it's a hobby show. So I want to try something a bit different with her. I don't really want to paint my blacksmiths in metallic paint. But I kind of suck at NMM.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do some zenithal painting on her. And then I've ordered some acrylic ink in gray. And I'm going to mix that for a base tone. I'm going to mix it with a little bit of blue and a little bit of maybe a little bit of black to darken it up.
Mm-hmm.
And give it some blue undertones. And I'm going to paint her with that. Which, in theory, because it's translucent, should let the zenithal highlights show through as a lighter tone.
Yeah.
So I guess kind of similar to what sketch style is.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And I'm going to see how that turns out. And then I'll just add some bright white highlights to the edge of the metal. And maybe some go in with some inks, a pure black or pure black and blue later. And add some shadows. All right, we'll see how it turns out. I thought about just doing the gray ink by itself, but I kind of want a bluish tone to the gray.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll have to play with it.
Then you just do a mix of blue and gray washes?
I could.
It's not recommended. I don't think it would look better that way. It just would be easier.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know if it's any easier because the acrylic ink basically dries on impact like paint anyway, but it's translucent.
Yeah.
It's not like the candy coats would take 24 hours to set. Because I thought about doing with that at first. And it gives me the opportunity to play with the inks a little bit. Because I had fun doing the doing my ghostly Blackheart.
Yes.
With inks and basically that style, and it worked out really quite well. So I wanted to give it a try. And I like the idea of like a dark blue-gray, but I couldn't find an ink that color. And if I use a paint, I mean, I could thin it out to try to make it into a glaze and hope it didn't break down. But I've had very poor success at doing that, even with glaze medium. Now, if I look at one of my favorite colors from Privateer Press, Great Co. Gray, it's a very nice blue-gray, actually. But as soon as you start thinning it out, it starts separating, I found.
Mm-hmm.
So I end up with a blue and a gray as opposed to a mix. So that was no good.
It's a good way to do two tones miniatures.
Yeah. and I also looked at some of my old Vallejo paints I had. There's a, I think it's called Luftwaffe, which is a Vallejo model color, which is a blue gray. There's also German gray, which is a dark blue gray. I looked at all those, and while they would all do it, then I'd have to build up highlights the old-fashioned way. And I kind of want to look for something that's efficient but looks nice. And I think the sketch style really lends itself well to the big kind of chunky, cartoony models that the blacksmiths are. And we'll have to see.
Have you already ordered your blacksmiths?
No. No. Oh. I just have the one model that I got. I'll do a test on her. And
mm-hmm.
I might order one of the boxes because they're not very expensive, and there's a couple models that I really like.
Might as well get it.
But the thing is, their playstyle is also kind of similar to the team I'm already playing, so there's that too. I don't want it may be too late for this, but I don't want Guild Ball to turn into my next War Machine or 40K, where I turn around and have 11 armies.
Didn't we count up to five last time, and yes. You're already adding a six?
Shush. Yeah, that's why I'm not really in a rush. But at least of the five, three are painted.
Yes. Yes.
So take that.
Better than I can say.
And I ordered, I'm going to order some nice Micro Art Studio bases, I think, for the blacksmiths.
Mm-hmm.
The, I think it's an Ancient Ruins is the name of the series.
But you already know which style.
Yeah. Well, I was looking for something that kind of thematically fit. And Ancient Ruins is basically like stone or tile, maybe, I guess you could say.
Yeah, it works. Really worked stone style decorated.
Yeah. So it's not completely out of place. Most of their other styles don't seem to really fit. You know, I don't really use the desert. I don't want to use cobblestone. I don't. Cobblestone was the other one I considered. Because blacksmiths are kind of an urban thing.
Mm-hmm.
At least, you know, they're armor. They're not blacksmiths, right? They're armor smiths. They're not making horseshoes. So that's kind of a big city thing. You wouldn't necessarily find that out in the country, historically. Because there wasn't really a lot of need for faux plate armor in the boonies. But, I don't know. I just, cobblestones are kind of boring at this point. Like, there's 8 million cobblestone-based models out there. I don't want to make the 8 million in first. So, we'll do kind of cobblestone-y, but with a variation. Also, the Micro Studios bases are really nice. And I can get them easily here, which I cannot do with Dragonforge or Secret Weapon, really.
That's a big point.
Not anymore, anyway. We used to have a store that carried Secret Weapon, but not really anymore. The fate of all gaming stores. They go out of business. And shipping it to Canada just seems silly. I mean, I suppose I could ship it. I could order a bunch of bases and ship it to my U.S. freight forwarder and pick them up en route to the New England Guild Ball Team Tournament. But I don't know.
It's more steps.
Yes. Yes, it is. I mean, there are some nice ones, Secret Weapon. The Flagstone bases could be really cool. They do have some nice styles. The one thing I will say, though, is that and that's a big advantage, is that the Micro Art Studio ones I get at a very reduced price. So that's also a factor. You know, mm-hmm. When you're spending $4 or $5 on six bases as opposed to $10 or $12, that adds up when you need, you know, a bunch of different sizes and stuff.
It's less bad for Guild Ball, but it's still there.
Yeah, Guild Ball at least, yeah. But, I mean, if you're paying $60 for your box of Guild Ball miniatures, and you're spending $30 or $40 on bases because you need a bunch of different sizes, it doesn't matter that you only need 4 32 millimeters, right? You got to buy them in that box of six for $15 or whatever.
Yes. You're still needing Guild bucks.
So that makes a difference too, right? So, yeah. So I've been kind of thinking about that. Also, I've been doing a bit of 3D design. I'm sorry for the keyboard sounds in the background. I can't remember what the password was. Oh, well. Yeah, what was I saying? Yeah, so aside from that, I haven't really been doing much of anything. 3D design, yeah, I've been working on... I designed a model tournament tray for Guild Ball, and I'm going to try to rework it a little bit for an event that's coming up. They've asked me to provide a couple as prize support.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, Zach asked me... the organizer asked me how much it would cost to get a couple for prize support. But I'm going to try to rework it a little bit, because currently the tray holds 13 models, which is enough for Season 4 that's coming. Because traditionally your roster was 10 plus your goal, so 11, so you had a couple extra spaces. But now with the roster going to 12 and a goal of 13, you actually have zero space, like zero additional spaces.
Mm-hmm.
So and I was thinking...
Union and Mortician that have double players, it doesn't fit.
That have double players?
Well, Avarice and Greed's takes two slots.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, in that case, yeah.
And the Brain Pen and Memory for Mortician.
That's true. I hadn't thought about Brain Pen and Memory. So, I don't know. I'm looking at the the previous layout right now in my hands, and I don't think there's a way I can squeeze
another one
there, but I can try. I mean, the other thing is I'm a little bit wasteful in my layout because I like symmetry.
Yeah.
But maybe if I shuffle stuff and fill every gap with something, I mean, things won't line up. They'll be kind of a jumble, but I can maybe get 14 on there. Or I take out a 50 mil and make two 30 mils.
How many 50 do you have right now? Two?
Three. Because some teams need three. Like rat catchers have three.
Three?
Yeah. Because of the mortician player, because of Bonesaw. But they have the goal?
Yeah, the goal, Bonesaw, and Scourge's is 50.
I think so.
Okay. I thought he was 40.
I might be mistaken, but I think he's 50.
Oh, it makes sense. He's pretty big.
Yeah. Because that's originally why I designed it with three, because our local rat catcher player, or one of the local rat catcher players, couldn't fit his team on it. So I changed the layout for him. So yeah, I do some printing. I already made some design changes, which were nice. Like I made the tray from a multi-part piece to a single part, without using too much more materials, which is nice. Anyway, it keeps me busy, keeps me out of trouble, and it's, you know, learning a new skill is always good.
Keeps you out of trouble, like you were running for death right now.
I have two kids. They also keep me out of trouble.
Yeah, I think that's enough already.
Yeah, well, fair enough. You win this round, Antoine.
Oh.
Okay, well, so what about what's that kind of thing? Games played. I played in the Guild Ball tournament. I don't really, we can't really talk about that. We got a Guild Ball show coming up, so
yeah, it will be mentioned in the next.
I played Guild Ball. I didn't win the tournament.
You came close though.
Yeah. That's I didn't cheat well enough. I should have cheated better. And for painting, all I did was finish up the model I was working on last week, Snakeskin, and that's it. What have you been up to, good sir?
Well, I started the skitteries that I'm working on right now. The other thing I've done is I painted Meat Hook for my butchers. So I think I was painting her last show.
Yeah.
So she's done now. And it went far quicker than I thought it would. My other Gibble model took longer to paint. I think she might be a tad less well done. But it doesn't really show. And
I don't know, man. It doesn't show in those pictures I've seen.
And it's a play model anyway. So she's really high table quality. So that's good enough for me. So I think I might be able to finish my guild faster than I thought previously. It won't take me another 3 years.
That's good.
Yeah, that's good for six more models.
I have no comments, sir.
Yeah.
I cannot confirm nor deny that you take forever to paint.
But that's about it. I've been sketching for my sculpting contest, but I cannot settle on the specific animal, so I'm pretty stuck. I did the armature, but I need the final animal to pose. The arms and the legs. It's on a Facebook group, a Facebook sculpting group, and the monthly theme is No Feet on the Ground. So I've decided to do one other of my stuffed animal, anthropomorphic animal. And this one, I wanted to do a witch that was lifting up. So, on a broom. So it's the base of the broom. Is there a name for that? The bristles, yeah. The bristles are touching down, but not the feet. So that it's the challenge team. But I need to decide which animal. So I've posted about that, got a bunch of suggestions, so I need to trim it down to what works for the sculpting, for the visual I have in mind, and what I can do in the next week. Yeah, so I'm still working on that. I did some putty just to add around the armature, but I'm mostly still sketching. And that's about it. Only a week makes for a lot less every time chat.
Yeah, you talented people disgust me. Without your...
Your fast painter people disgust me. Just saying.
Okay, well, fair enough.
Yeah, I have now 7 Gilbal models painted. 10 because I have a demo team for the old 3 players demo. But that's since the release of the game. And you have 3 full teams in a year less, maybe? So,
Yeah, and one of those teams is quite... Well, yeah, you're counting 3 teams because you broke my... help me out here. What are they called? The Solthesians into...
The Order and the Union.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Otherwise, you said 3 just before. I didn't say 3. You said 3.
Yeah. So. Okay. Fair enough. Yeah. So I got, what is that? 35-ish models painted. 40 models. I don't know.
Just 102. Yeah.
Well, you know, what I can.
Yeah, that's fine. And I've looked at my fishermen's. I have the Star Fishermen's. And I ordered the Navigator box. And I looked at the models I have already painted. And they are a drop compared to my Butchers. So if I keep with that style for the Navigators to go with them, I think they will go faster.
Which that's is good.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, it's hard finding that balance, right? With the where you can be satisfied with the quality, but get a speed you find more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy, that's for sure.
The last couple of years, that's what I've found is I've been able to go faster with my painting, downgrade the quality a bit, but I'm also just painting faster, I think, for a similar result with the experience.
Well, of course. Like anything else, right? You get better at it. And
maybe less regarding. I know those models are for playing. And it's pretty clear right now that I don't really want to do competitions. So
that's it.
I don't need to push myself as much as I was trying before. So that's fine. Every piece doesn't have to be a test for how I can get my painting now.
What's the finished, not perfect, I think is catchphrase that everyone throws around online?
Yeah.
There's something to be said for that. Yeah.
Yeah. My stuff is still pretty a bit higher than just finished.
Oh, yes. But compared to everyone's standard is different, right?
Yeah. Compared to what I was trying to do before.
Yeah, exactly.
And especially...
Which was perfect, not finished. Yeah.
Yeah. I still have some models I want to push more, but those will be specific piece, and I will push myself only on those, not on my gaming piece. That's why nothing is done.
Yeah, that's the fate of a lot of people, right? I get it, right? You're trying... You want to do the best possible job you can, and... I get all that.
If I was a single game player like Steve, and I could concentrate on only that, I think I could live with it. But every month, there's at least 3 or 4 new games I want to try.
Yeah, well, that's another problem we need to talk about there, buddy.
So I need to
get paint faster. Yes. Oh, yeah, that too. Yeah, your gamer ADD is a problem for the rest of us, dude.
For the rest of us.
Well, you know, you're kind of like the driving force in our gaming group. And, you know, we're all on board and happy to support and play the game with you or whatever. But if you keep changing games every 2 weeks, it becomes a little tedious on the rest of us.
Well, it's good for you now. I can't play, so...
Yeah, I may stand a chance to catch up a little bit.
Yeah. My playing time is so limited that you're good.
Think of the children, Antoine.
That's why I'm not playing, so that's all I do. Think of the children.
I spend so much time painting models, Antoine, that my kids don't even know what I look like anymore.
Yeah, sure.
And I'm all like, but Antoine needs me.
Your Aranarex is all painted then, I think. That's what it is.
Yeah? Sorry, what? You're breaking up. Sorry, I can't hear you. What did you say?
Yeah.
Something screw you? Yeah. 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 I caught myself that time. I was almost more colorful. But in the nick of time, I caught myself.
Speaking of that, that's pretty what I'll paint next, that Aranarex, but I have an handful of accessories for it, for terrain. Like, I want to do the arena, but I don't have... my airbrush is not exactly on good terms with me right now. But at least we have the mat. So I'll paint the accessories so we can play on the mat. The mat has your arena on it anyway. And eventually when I get back control of that that thing, I'll work on the arena.
Your airbrush is controlling you?
It's not controlling me, but it's not letting me control it anyway, either. Yeah. So, hobby tip of the episode. For people who have travel brushes, the one that separates in two parts with the cap.
Like the Games and Gears ones?
Yeah, like the Games and Gears ones. Don't mix paints while you still have the brush in your hand.
I don't understand.
Like shaking the pots.
Oh.
So.
that's true. I remember.
I totally destroyed a brush like that last week when the part with the tip flew away.
Yeah, and flew away.
Crashed bristle first into the
concrete floor
and totally sprayed. So that one is dead. And I almost did it once again. So I stopped myself shining. And it has a couple of millimeters left before flying out. So
maybe not your shining moment there, Antoine.
I have a ample of those not shiny moments. We've already touched about some of them on the show, I'm sure.
Yeah, that was amusing because I was on Hangouts with you or whatever when it happened.
Yes.
I was like, what the hell was that? You're like, my brush. Oh, man, there must be an easier way to figure out maximum number of, you know, circles you can get to a certain area with this many sizes.
By end.
Yeah, then try to, like, sit there and eyeball it and go, okay, what if I try this? Okay, what if I try that? How many can I fit in now?
I hope so.
Well, I hope so, too, but sadly, I haven't found that way yet, so...
Mm-hmm. So you're stuck with doing it by hand and try.
I am stuck with doing it the old-fashioned way.
So you played Gibball. I painted, but didn't have any games. So sadly, nothing happened. I did. It's not a hobby per se, but I did visit one of our local stores that has been open for some years now. Zakeda Sports and Games, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was my first time. It's on the South Shore, so it's a small...
It's a bit of a trek.
It's a trek for me, but I met with the owner to speak about the events preparations and stuff and different plannings for next year. And I visited the store, and it's a pretty small store, but wow, are they packed with variety and stuff. They have so much choice. All the different types of games, really, really cool inventory. And the hobby parts is amazing too. I think they have 5 different lines of paint.
That must be hard to manage from a financial standpoint, right? Just because that's the biggest thing. You know, 5 different lines of paints, but paint have a shelf life.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't turn over because you're not selling enough, it's just a big money sink, right? So that's a tough... Yeah. That's a tough thing to do. Mm. So that's impressive.
Yeah, that probably explained, like, one of the color I wanted for P3 wasn't there. But only one. There was more than one, so I was able to find almost everything I needed. But they had that, they had Vallejo. I'm pretty sure they had the game color and the model color. They had Game Workshop.
I know they also carry Army Painter, the full line.
Yeah, they had Army Painter too. So and like grass stuff, like the woodland scenics, the big tubs.
Yeah.
Of flocking, they had at least 8 to 10 colors different. So a lot of hobby stuff too. So that was a pretty cool visit.
Yeah, I haven't checked them out. I keep meaning to, but because of where I live, it's just not so practical.
Mm-hmm. For sure. So that's the same reason why I hadn't visited them yet.
Yeah. Because they're on the South Shore. And considering our current state of lack of roads to everywhere, it's a nightmare to get to the South Shore.
Yep.
But our government assures us that someday soon we'll have roads again.
Mm-hmm. That looks like election talks.
Yeah.
No politics.
Yeah, no. Yeah, we got enough politics south of the border. We don't need to talk about our pathetic politics. Because it really is kind of pathetic. Oh, well. Anyway. So what else we got here? We've talked about some painting, some stuff. You have no games. I guess that'll take us to our topic, or one of our topics. Do we have a particular order we want to do this in, Antoine?
I can go with my item first, so it's yeah, will sure. be done, and we'll do the more serious one after. So, as you have probably heard in the past, I do some sculpting, and I did a stuffed unicorn, kind of a cartoon stuffed unicorn, earlier this year. Cast it, I think, just before Adepticon, it was already around that time. You brought some at Adepticon to people who wanted some. You brought some as gift. And I also shipped around, I think overall, it was around 50 that I casted and either sold or gave away.
Gave away.
And one of the person who got one is Mr. Tom Anders from Impact Miniature. And he liked, I'm not in his head, so I don't know the order in which this happened, but he liked it enough. Maybe that's why he ordered it first, or when he had it in his end, or anyway, he asked me if he could license it to be sold at a smaller size on a print-on-demand way on his site with his other chibi stuff. Impacts are sending a bunch of resin 3D printed chibis, and they already have a bunch of unicorns, so it fit there. And he wanted the smaller size to be able to have it cheap and easy to sell. It's $4 on their site. So it took a while to happen, but it's now concrete. So if you go on Impact Miniature site, you can find one of my miniature for sale professionally and commercially. So that's my first commercially out minis. I sold some of my basement cast, but it's the first time I have a real product out by a real company.
That's very cool to say. I know someone who's got a line of miniatures.
You know a bunch of people who have lines of miniatures, Paul.
Well, yeah. I'm not as close to any of them as I am with you.
Yeah.
I think that's a safe thing to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So I got, he sent me a couple of samples. One to paint for his display pieces. So I painted that. That's true. I painted that I finished that in the past week. That small unicorn. It's been shipped back to the US to him for, yeah, he has a show coming, I think, end of October or early November. But, it was fun to paint. I think it's the second time I paint one of my own models.
That's pretty scary.
And all the time I've been sculpting, like conversions and stuff like that, I do paint. But my full sculpts that I've done myself, and that are not terrain or base, that's only the second one. Like the Zenyan has been, I think it was casted the first time in 2002. I still haven't painted one.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive, I guess, is the word I want to use, but it doesn't sound right.
Yeah, no, I don't think it is. But yeah, just doing the sculpting seems to be enough for me. I want to either paint or sculpt, not do both on the same model. But that one was fun to do. So
that's a strange, it's a strange outlook, buddy. Yeah. I'll either paint or sculpt the model, but I won't do both.
Well, now that I've painted one, I should do another one. Like it was partly a gift for my girl, so I should at least paint one for her, one of the big ones.
Well, you've done a couple things that were for her, I think. Wasn't the hippopotamus also kind of for her?
It was just I just like the theme.
Well, who doesn't like ballerina hippopotamuses?
Yeah. Yeah. The pug was for my wife.
The pug unicorn?
Yeah, the puggycorn.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool themes in there, buddy. Like,
yeah. I just need to do one for my son now. Something you would like.
So what do you think that's going to be? You have any ideas on that one?
I already shared one, but I don't see myself recasting that. But we played some RPG sessions with friends, and he played kind of a scrap warjack shaped as R2-D2.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You're in talking Iron about- Kingdom. So, and I draw that character. So I could sculpt that one or try to do another anthropomorphic stuffed animal, but of his choice instead. I need to think about it.
Does he have a favorite animal you think he'd want to do as an anthropomorphic?
I change every week.
Well, he's how old now? 8?
8, yeah.
Makes sense. I'm 43 and don't know what I want from week to week. And we already know that you don't know what you want, because that's how you end up with all these different games.
I know what I want. I want to try new games. That's what I
want. Yeah. If I go bankrupt, we'll know why. It's all Antoine's fault. It's the games. The games. Oh, this is like a puzzle that I can't solve, Antoine.
Ah, well. Put that aside. Let's finish the show, and you can concentrate on it after.
Oh, no, I'm concentrating. I got little circles all over the place, and I'm trying to put on this.
Yeah, but that's it. I'll put a link in the show notes. But if you go to my page right now on Facebook, Lasagnon, or lasagnon.net, on any of your favorite browser, you'll be able to see the painted version and get a link there too.
That's an onion with a Z.
Yeah, a zonion.
A zonion, yes. For Anglophone people who don't know what the hell a zonion is, don't feel bad. It's not anything. No. it's just a thing.
It was invented around the 2000s, and everything had a Z back then, so that's why. I really should have changed the name since.
Everything had a Z back then.
Yeah.
That's an interesting statement. I can't really argue with it, because it's not necessarily wrong. It's just an interesting statement. Everything had a Z.
But that covers my point.
So. Okay. So, we were trying to come up with some sort of like real topic to talk about this week, because we drifted all over last week, and let's face it, we drifted all over so far this week too. So, and we couldn't really come up with much of anything. And then I suggested maybe we could talk about the recast topic that has come up all over the interwebs in the miniature community.
Yes.
People, I can't say have suddenly decided that recasts are bad, because they've always said, you know, people have always said recasts are bad. But there's been a few companies have kind of become more outspoken about it. And I don't mean GW, I mean like small indie companies, Scale 75.
How will Garcia Torres also something like that.
He was the one that had the dwarf, right?
Yep. And I think he had the first big post about it, and after that it went kind of viral in the community.
Yeah. And it's a big thing. I'm going to get some numbers wrong here, because I don't have the information in front of me. But he posted this really kind of gut-wrenching rant, I guess you could say, but not really a rant, but rant-like, about how, you know, he lives off his sculpting, how he puts his heart and soul into it, and how he loves doing it, and he loves seeing what we do with his art. But then he turns around, and he sees that one of his models is on a recaster site for a fraction of his price, but it sold 5 times as many in that month, in that particular month, as his had, as the original. And, you know, he just comments that it's not really fair, and that these people are making money off the backs of the artists who need to survive and, you know, feed families and pay for the sculpting time and the masters and the casting and everything. And then these guys turn around, steal his work, and then sell it for a fraction of the cost because they don't have any of his overhead.
Yeah, none of the development time.
Yeah, exactly. And let's face it, cost of living is lower. And, you know, there's a bunch of other considerations. And he's not wrong, right? It's not fair. It's not right. But it's a pretty big, I don't say moral quandary, because it's not really a quandary. Like, people who buy recasts know exactly what they're doing, right?
Yes.
And buying recasts is easy to justify a lot of the time. I won't lie, I've bought recasts before. Never of indie stuff, because that's not my style. I'd rather support the small artists. But I have bought recasts of certain big companies' models that I thought were overpriced, and their QC was bad enough that, you know, when the China recasts are better in terms of casting quality. And I justified it to myself, I won't lie. I mean, I would never pay full price for these models, so the manufacturer would never see that money from me anyway. So what difference does it make?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not fooling myself, that's a very slippery slope, morally. But nonetheless, that was the logic I used. I'm just curious to see, you know, what's going to come of this. Like, will it take a guy going down to really affect change?
Yeah, what are your thoughts on that? I don't see it really working.
Like, but do you think, you know, if some of these small guys start closing up because the recasters are cutting too much into the business, do you think it'll affect it? Do you think anyone will care?
Nope.
I mean, as an industry, you know, everyone, of course, gets on their high horse and they pretend to care.
But yeah, and that's it. Like, they are probably a fraction of the sales from those recasters.
Yeah.
Most of those sales are for big things like the Forge World and Game Workshop stuff that people want to play and buy so many because they're for army games. You need a bunch of them. You need a ton. You need to change your army often. And I'm pretty sure most of those sales are for those.
Yeah.
So the smaller indie guys, sure, it affects them, and it's incredibly bad and more morally awful. But I don't think that some of those indie sculptors going away will really have any impact.
And the people that will care about it are the ones that are already buying from them.
Yeah, the people who will care are already doing the right thing, probably. It's the people who don't mind and who don't care that will continue, and that won't change.
You know what this makes me think of? It makes me think of gaming stores, right? We all complain, you know, that the gaming store is too expensive, so we buy models online. But then we complain the gaming store went out of business, we have no place to play anymore.
Mm-hmm. Like, yep.
It's the same problem, right?
Yep, totally similar. I see the analogy, for sure.
And I just wonder what can be done. And I wonder, like, if... So obviously it's a price point thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
If an indie company is making a model and they're selling it for $20 and you can buy it for $10, right? And you want it, but you don't necessarily value that company, you buy it for $10.
Yeah.
Could that indie company sell it for $10 and make it up in volume, do you think?
Probably not. Right.
But, like, if you use that example, right?
Super tiny example, but like the stuff I do at home, I home cast, and I don't have enough volume to buy the bigger
cast equipment.
Yeah. Not even the equipment. Like, even if I add, let's say, a pressure chamber and stuff like that, just the resin and the silicones, I bought I buy in smaller tubs, but for the quantity per price, if I bought bigger package, I could drop my cost by almost 3. And most of those smaller casters probably have the same thing. They can pretty cast bigger quantities, but they can get to the price where they have huge rebates for volume.
Yeah, and these casting houses in China that are, that's the thing I hadn't considered. It's the cost of materials, because they can hit crazy high break points. And they're probably closer to a point of origin.
Yep.
And they're probably using more toxic resins. Like, there's less health concerns because
absolutely
lower standards.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who's ever bought a recast model from China knows what I'm talking about. Because you open that package and the death seeps out of it at you. Yeah. Because the resin stinks and it's nasty. Well, not everything I've ever seen, but a lot of it is, right? So I get that.
And that's just one part of it.
Yeah.
And you already mentioned like the price of living and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same. Cost more for people in North America for the. So if they want to be able to live off it, I don't see. No, it's not like miniature artists are millionaires right now.
No, absolutely. You know, there is one company that's making millions of dollars, and everyone else is scraping by.
Yeah,
that's absolutely true. And the boutique guys, I mean,
we see some of them close every month because they couldn't produce enough, or just dealing with all the retail part of it was too much. Oh, it
strangles them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, look at Relics, right? Lovely little game, great little models, and just could never be viable as a business. And the amount of time it took for him to manage it made it completely not worth doing.
Yeah, and I've talked about it with Gavin since, and the business part of it was too much. Like, he liked making the game, he liked working on the designs and the ideas and everything, but having to deal with the inventory and shipping and quality control and service, clientele service.
Customer service.
Customer service. That became just too much.
And actually, he sold the TT Combat, right?
Yep.
Same as Drop Zone.
Yes.
I think Drop Zone Commander is also there.
I
think for the same reasons. I think David sold it because it was just the business management part was not his thing, right? He wanted to be able to focus more on the game and development or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And he's still working with them. So, but he's concentrating on the game and not on the business part. So, I don't see it as possible to lower and still be profitable.
Yeah.
Because,
especially since there's no, like, a lot of these guys, they're not making a game piece. They're truly making an art piece, right? And say what we want, that is a much smaller portion of the miniature enthusiast community. Because there's, you know, GW and the GW gamers, and then there's the War Machine and Hordes players, and there's like a ton of the other miniature games, and then there's the people who just buy to paint, right? Like, in terms of proportionally per, you know, for number of people, the pure artist, you know, is probably a fair ways down the list. Now, I'll just say, I just don't know if there's a solution to the problem. You know, you appeal to people and try to get them to see your point of view, but I think the only people you really reach are the ones that were already in your corner anyway.
Yeah. I don't think it's a lost cause. Like,
well, I think like, awareness is important.
Yeah, that what's done right now, some sites have banners about it, I've saw some memes or promo material about it, people sharing it. It's sharing consciousness and awareness. But sadly, I think that's the only thing that we can do, really. The other way would be to maybe like have a bigger consortium of independent artists share means of production to lower cost, but that needs an overhead somewhere, and that might cut any of the benefits of doing it.
Yeah, and you'd have to have people like central, like in the same areas, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of these, I mean, actually, a lot of these miniature companies are in Poland or whatever. There's a lot of like European, European guys who are fairly close to each other, so it might be feasible there. But I'm just thinking of like the North American guys and how it just doesn't work. It's depressing.
Yeah. But that's what it is.
And what gets me is it's you know, it's one thing, and again, I'm not trying to justify it, and I'm not trying to whatever, but you know, it's one thing when you look at a $1,500 Warlord Titan or whatever, how much it costs, that you can get for $600 as a recast. Like, I understand that, good or bad, at least I understand it. But like, when I see recasts of things like Secret Weapon bases, where you're saving like peanuts, you know, you might be saving $3 on a pack of bases on a 40k army, you might save, I don't know, $50 or $60 on like $2,000 worth of miniatures. Proportionally, it's ridiculously small. On anything, in any other game, any skirmish game or whatever, you're hardly saving anything at all.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, and I just don't understand why people would
even bother would
go for that. Yeah, well, you know, aside from the fact that I know Justin, I wouldn't want to hurt him, hurt his company, and I respect him a lot. It just doesn't make sense to me. Like, there's not even enough Delta to justify to yourself to buy what's likely to be an inferior product.
Mm-hmm. Like, I must be honest, I don't think I've ever bought recast. And that's not out of interest. Like, I've thought about it for some Forge World stuff, but I don't buy that much. And, my hobby budget is usually pretty small, that it doesn't matter, it doesn't work out anyway. Or I play so indie and smaller games that don't have anything available for recast anyway, so that cuts it out already. But it goes against what I'm for, being a miniature creator myself. But the only way I could see doing it is for, like, dead stuff.
Oh, like people who were doing it for confrontation for years and stuff.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't get the models anywhere, old out of production, GW stuff.
The game is dead. The owner of the license is not producing it anymore. Then, sure, I wouldn't mind doing it for that.
Yeah, no harm, no foul.
Yeah. Sure, I've seen people say that it devaluated the existing stuff, but I'm not a collectioner for the value part. I'm a collectioner for the having the piece. I don't care about its resale value or anything like that.
Yeah, and that's all subjective anyway, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we're not talking about Magic the Gathering cards or something that are worth thousands of dollars each. We're talking about miniatures.
Yeah.
And I know people were super upset about confrontation miniatures. For that reason, because of the resale value, you know, which I thought was completely ridiculous.
Yeah, me too.
Didn't they actually relaunch the whole line or something? Or did someone else launch it in the end?
Was that cool? They relaunched part of it, partially, multiple times. Like, right now, the old line is supposed to be reworked by...
Well, there was a Kickstarter.
There was a big Kickstarter about it. I don't know where it's at, because you could only get into... getting everything. Like, the buy-in was something like $500, so...
Yeah, that wasn't Cadwallon that did that, right?
No. Cadwallon are one of the reasons Omi decided to not continue with it, because they were still recasting.
But are they... That's the weird thing, right? Is it recasting? There's a whole...
And we're gonna go down there's a bunch of loopholes there about who owns the mold and who
because got the molds were thrown away or stuff like that. It was something about molds were thrown away and people salvaged the molds and started casting.
Yeah.
And then it's like, how can you say I can't use the molds? You threw it away.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of got a point.
Yeah, but the IP has been sold, so in theory the molds shouldn't be used because the IP is owned by somebody else. But if they're not producing, But are they not producing because there are recaster, or it's a big, a huge gray area?
Well, the problem is, and I think the reason it's never gone to court and nothing's ever happened, because I don't think Caduan's in China or someplace impossible to prosecute. But yeah, I think
they're in Spain or something.
Yeah. But I really think the problem is that because the molds were discarded, how can you claim ownership, you know, depending on how the law looks at it, you know, how do you even license something you've thrown away?
Mm-hmm.
How do you decide later on that you're going to license it instead? Like, you threw it away. You relinquished ownership when you did that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that's probably the loophole they're going through, right?
That's possible.
Yeah. Actually, it's funny. There's models on here. Are they doing additional sculpting now?
Yeah, they've done.
Because there's models on here I don't recognize.
From new piece or some piece they have done based on the artwork, but that didn't have miniatures for them.
Like, I'm just on the Caduan website looking at something. There's a Kina Sorceress of Ice that I've never seen this model before.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she existed in it.
No, but I know they have done some stuff. But even then, some people have complained because those are based on the license, the IP
artwork. Yeah,
no, artwork. For sure. So,
no, I understand that.
That by itself is a big can of worm.
Yeah. Actually, didn't someone get mad at us last time we mentioned this website?
Yep. Every time we've mentioned it.
Oh, okay. Was it Eric every time?
Yes.
Probably. Yeah. Okay. Sorry, Eric, if you're still listening.
But we're not promoting them right now. It's not the same as saying, they just released that and go buy it. Like, we're just talking about the history right now. It's not the same thing.
Yeah. it's a recasting's a slippery slope.
Well, really, it really isn't. It's bad. But.
Yeah, no, sorry. I was talking about dealing with these sites like Caduan, for example, right?
Yeah,
like
it's
that's a slippery slope because it's legal, not legal. Who knows? There's
And what information out there
is accurate?
Is accurate? Yeah.
Who do you believe?
How much of it do we really know? So, but even then,
it's a mess. It's a mess, I say.
Mm-hmm. So, listeners, what do you think about recasting? Let us know. Start a huge flame war on our comments.
Well, it is the internet. These things do happen. Yeah. Let's see. What else do we have? How long are we going? We've been going about an hour, haven't we?
Yep. We've went long. Do we want to skip the?
No, we can stuff? Talk. We can talk about a couple of the things we thought were interesting this week.
Okay. Do you want to go first?
Sure. I'm just going to a little addendum to something we talked about last week, which was the AMPSA miniature.
Yes.
The Ninja Bust. So we've seen some shots of the alternate face.
Well, there's an alternate head, but
which
I think the head is the same.
It's the same head, but there's like an Oni mask that's covering the mouth, which looks really cool.
Yes.
It's actually not what I expected at all. I assumed we'd have some hooded ninja thing going on, but the... Mm-hmm. You know, the hair flowing with the Oni mask, I think it adds a neat effect.
Yes.
Again, that model is available. It's $65 Canadian. And if you like doing busts, it is a gorgeous piece, so you should pick that up.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember the link.
But that's it's okay, in the last episode.
Last episode, so exactly.
I'll copy it again in the notes. We'll just add it in the notes to remember to add it.
I think, is it, no, it's not that. Yeah.
But, yeah.
I swear it's the it's Alberta cool Miniature piece. Painter Society of Alberta.
Yeah.
Best name ever.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so, and let's see what you had in here.
You can skip. One other thing I want to talk about is Shadespire. The Warhammer Underworld Shadespire. The new box, I think, has been out, or it's going out this week. Undervolt, or whatever the one with the new undead, the spirit undeads.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't care about that. I don't care about the Undead or the...
Or Shadespire?
No, not Shadespire, but the other warband in it. Like the Sigmarites. Say the...
Oh, the Stormcast.
The Stormcast Eternals. But there's a new warband in it, more magic-centered. I don't care about those. But, however, we've seen preview of the other warbands, artworks of the other warbands that are coming out with that set. And it's all the warbands I wanted. Really. There's one of Night Goblins. There's one of a kind of a troll with his mutant lackeys. There's one of the new Sky Dwarf. And there's one of Forest Spirits. So that's right there. Four of those six warbands I would have gotten me into the game far more than anything that was out in the first batch. Like, I didn't care for the game when I tried it first, but those might be enough to get me to try it again.
You are so weak.
I told the exact same thing when I thought about the game. Like, I didn't get in the game enough, and the miniatures are not for me. So if they add goblins or dwarf, maybe? That's exactly what I said when we reviewed it last time when I talked about my game. So, and now they have them. They have the Sky Dwarves. They have the Night Goblins.
So weak.
I might look into it and try it again. Like, do you still have your box?
Somewhere, yeah.
Yeah, so... Like, we have the materials for it. I don't need to buy anything. If you want to try it again, for sure. Or there's a...
Well, I've never tried it. Well, I know. I played it before it was released.
Yeah. And there's a bunch of fares. So even if I just got one of the new warbands, and they're pretty affordable, if I remember correctly. So it's what? 5 or 6 minis? Plus cars and stuff like that. Can't cost that much. So I might get... Either the goblins or the dwarf.
And yeah, the problem is if you want to build
fun and painting.
If you want to build decks and make them like decent, you have to buy other warbands to get the cards to.
But I don't care about that stuff enough. I would just play for fun with the base decks and stuff like that. I don't care about efficiency or card efficiency. I know it's more of a card game with miniatures than the reverse. But I'm pushing that out until we see the miniatures before doing a decision. Like, we've seen artwork. If the miniatures are cool enough, that might be enough for me to try it out. And sure, I'll lose my games. I won't have an effective decks, but then I won't mind because I would be pushing nice miniatures on the table by having my face beaten to death.
I understand.
Yeah. So. I'll try to find a link toward the 4 new artworks and add it in the notes. But that was really cool. That got me interested in a game that I thought I had absolutely no interest in anymore.
So. Surprise!
Yay! Surprise to nobody.
No one that knows you anyway.
Yeah.
Do you want to mention this little thing by Impact?
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, you added it, but I can talk about it, I suppose. So Impact Miniatures has a Kickstarter running with 10 days left to go. Wow, it's been a long time since I've had to say that line. and it's kind of a neat concept. So it's basically over 100 miniatures that were rescued from other failed Kickstarter projects. So basically he's licensed the designs and he's basically selling the miniatures.
Yep.
Through a Kickstarter. It's a very cool idea. He was looking for, oh goodness, 500 US and he's currently at 5,000 US. So it's fully funded. It's got a little over 100 backers. And like I said, there's a lot of neat stuff in here. I like some of the themes. There's some kind of weird fae stuff. There's some...
a bunch of anthropomorphic wizards. And
yeah, and there's like lizard men and cat people and like stone golems. Just a bunch of weird stuff. There's a rhinoceros barbarian looking guy. How do you go wrong with a rhinoceros? Like, seriously.
And out of that set, if I remember correctly, those were for a game that didn't pan out in the end. They had, I remember seeing all the bad story around it on different Facebook groups. And the Kickstarter failed. I think they delivered only the rules, but not the miniatures or stuff like that. And I might be speaking, I'm speaking out of memory. I don't have the exact terms, but he has, if it works out, he has offered to sell the miniatures at cost to people, to backers of that project, so that they at least have an option to get them. Sure, they have to pay something again. But if they want, he's going to produce them just for the production cost and have so it as an offer.
Pay for it again. So you mean the Kickstarter was successful? Like it met its goal, but then the guy never produced.
Yeah. It was never completed, the shipping and everything. It sucks.
That sucks.
But it's
I like the Technomancer hammer you can get for $89. It's a six inch high hammer.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Solid resin.
Why?
Why not?
Yeah,
Samurai elves, $17. You know, Japanese themed goblins, set of five for $13. Like, how do you go wrong? All kinds of weird, wacky, fun stuff. People should invest. So says Paul. Because I'm a great barometer of these things. There's an owl man, Antoine. An owl man.
Mm-hmm.
How did these Kickstarters ever fail? Anyway, all to say is a lot of cool stuff. I mean, and the pledge levels are easy. It's what you pledge, you put it towards a shopping list, essentially, and you buy models with that money. So, easy peasy. All right. Is there anything else we'd like to talk about, Antoine?
No, I think that covers it. We've talked long enough.
All right, so I guess I will see you next week where we will blabber on again about random stuff that may or may not be relevant.
That's perfect.
Sounds like a plan. All right, I'll see you next week.
Bye, geeks.
Thanks for listening to Geeks of the North. If you want to contact us, you can email us at geeksofthenorth@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/geeksofthenorth, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks of the North. You can follow me, Paul, at PR Filio, Antoine at Eltonio Berg, Steve at B_Steve, and if you really feel the need, I guess you can follow Yom. He's at Yomasta. Breaks and outro music by Ladrave. You can listen to them at ladrave.bandcamp.com. See you next time, geeks.
Thank you for checking out a United Geeks Network family member. If you enjoyed it and are looking for other online media with a geek culture slant, head over to unitedgeeksnetwork.com, where you will find Two Bald Geeks, a podcast by two bald horror movie fans that dissect one horror movie a month, saving the spoilers for last. The United Geeks Network. You can broadcast your geekiness at unitedgeeksnetwork.com.